Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, author, The Little Dog That Could, Filippo Voltaggio.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Grateful Girl, Heather Powers. I am Mark Legere, and now, your host for this evening, Dorothy Lee Donahue.
Hi. Welcome to Life Changes. This is going to be a great show tonight. Filippo is our guest, and he does a little monologue. What do you have prepared for us tonight?
You know, actually, I have very few words prepared tonight, period.
I don't say that again. Well, usually don't call it the monologue.
Everybody get excited. Thank you for that, actually. I haven't had any complaints. Well, I haven't.
Quite,
I mean, maybe you all have and haven't shared with me.
We love it.
I thank you for making me laugh, because I was about to say I have few words tonight because I thank goodness I'm not an emotional guy, that I don't get emotional.
Say that again.
Well, because if I really stop to think about it, this is something that I'll have to do the math at some point seriously, but I think it's eight and a half years in the making. And it's really a lifetime within that period that has changed, and it's part of been.
Wow, yes, two words. In fact, just run them together.
Oh, man, I can't wait for this show. As a matter of fact, it's here. It's been one of the things that has changed my life the most, and the people involved, and the precious animal involved has changed my life the most of anything in my whole... What was that phrase I heard? As something 29? What was it? She said, our guest, Heather...
29.
In your
29 years.
That was great.
29 years.
Our guest, Heather Powers, the grateful girl. She's probably grateful to be... 29.
I love that. You learn something every day.
If I look at this moment, the book is released, and I'm also releasing a lot of my personal self within the book. And with the launch of this book, which will be officially on the 19th, which is my mother's birthday, on the 19th of November this year, 2015, with the release of that, Life Changes will also be launching its very own publishing company with this book as well. So we're not only excited about the first book being The Little Dog That Could, but also all the other books that are soon forthcoming on that publishing company.
Why are you looking at both of us when you say that?
I'm looking at Dorothy's book through her eyes, and your book through yours. And so with that, I'm excited to be the guest. I don't know any of the questions that Dorothy is going to ask, or Mark for that matter. And it's purposely that way so that we could do this as authentic as the book is, actually. And our musical guest today, we do know, and we are excited to have not only her, but a special guest as well. Well, I shouldn't say anymore. We should just get started. And it's all coming on Life Changes right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back live at Studio NoHo in sunny North Hollywood, California. And we are playing musical chairs tonight on Life, the Life Changes shows. Dorothy Donahue is interviewing Filippo Voltaggio.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be interviewing the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Filippo has just completed his book, The Little Dog That Could. It is a remarkable, true story that demonstrates our unlimited potential to consciously co-create an awesome outcome, even when we are faced with challenges that appear to be unsolvable. When one applies the principles shared by Filippo in this book to their own lives and to the lives of those they love, miracles can and will happen, just as they did with Cicino, the little dog that changed Filippo's life. Filippo, you truly are the master of change, and now that you've completed this wonderful book, The Little Dog That Could, and are sharing it with the world, and the unlimited possibilities that positive change can bring us, I'm so excited for humanity. I really am. Conscious co-creation is what I've been sharing and teaching all over the world for years now, and I've never witnessed such a grand example of what it means to become conscious of the power each of us has once we remember who we are. And this is related in your very true story. As an awakener, activator, and accelerator, it's been such an honor to play a small part in this miracle and the unfolding of it. And I'm thrilled that the book is now ready for release, as I believe it will inspire all who read it to begin consciously co-creating their lives in all areas, spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally. So let us begin with you sharing with our audience how a precious stray dog became the inspiration for this remarkable true story of life, love, and miracles.
Well, thank you, actually, for what you said. That was a beautiful encapsulation of some of the experiences people may get out of the book. And I should say that Dorothy's part is not so small.
I was going to second that, not so small either. That was very humbly put.
Actually, all of our parts are not small. Everybody that's in the book played a very, very big part. And I'm grateful to everybody, and especially Cicino. So I this much I can say about the book and the dog. I was coming home from a party. I was feeling kind of smug, actually, about myself. I had just been with some Hollywood celebrities and politicians that were well known at this event, and I was all dressed up and had just gotten home, and something I felt like I needed to get munchies. It's not something I did very often, but something said, get munchies. So I wanted to go to the health store before it closed and get myself some munchies. And
see, already you can tell you're different, because a lot of people don't go to the health store when they think of munchies.
Yeah, well, I wanted something
to lead in.
Well, I'll tell you, some of these health stores, they have things that make you think you're eating healthy, but you're really not anyway. So don't worry. I was still getting my munchie fixed. It was dark and it was late enough, and I was starting to get halfway there on this four-lane street, which was like a highway to a little dog, I saw this little dog on one side of the street. On my side of the street, actually, I was on the far right. And I said, oh, no, in my mind, you're not going to cross the street. And sure enough, she did. And I pulled over and just watch every step. Like I prayed with every step that she took. And when she got to the other side, I could swear that she was looking straight at me as this parked car. And I thought, she's looking at me. I'm supposed to save her. And I don't know where that thought came from. I lived in a place where I couldn't have a dog, and my life couldn't have a dog. And I didn't want a dog, but something said I had to save her. So I lunged into the street myself to save her. And therein begins The Little Dog That Could. Actually, that's not where it begins. It begins someplace else. But we eventually get there real soon.
We sure do. Shatina was very special. And so there were so many lessons that she shared with you. And one of my favorite ones is that she taught you not to be so particular about being perfectly neat. How did she teach you about allowing imperfections in your surroundings?
Yeah, that's actually where the story starts. It's, I think the chapter's called My Life Was Neat. I love that chapter, and I've actually had some people that knew me read the book and tell me to take it out because it doesn't make me look good. And this book is not about me looking good. As a matter of fact, I don't think I look good until maybe the end. But it's not a what do they call those, like when you make a CD just for your ego or something like that. You know what they call those? Anyway, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I'm not placing the word.
This is not a book that I'm, oh, look
vanity.
How. Yeah, it's not a vanity book. Thank you, Dorothy. At all. It is not. This is like open up the kimono kind of book. And so it starts with that. My life was neat.
You know, it's important to mention that because people talk about, you know, when you talk to other people about the time that went into writing this or the challenge that it was writing the story, reliving the story, learning from it, evaluating it yourself. This is not as someone tells a story from their perspective. This was you really, truly going deep in. This is a dance with your own awareness, with your own consciousness.
Yes.
And that's why it's so powerful.
Well, to answer Dorothy's question and then to get back to Mark's comment, so I had a certain way I chose to live, and all my friends and family needed to abide by that way, and they put up with it because they loved me. And I think I can laugh now almost about it. So that's in the book. And then Shatina, that's what I ended up naming her when I ended up, quote unquote, saving her, because who saved who, right? We hear that a
good
lot with
question.
Animals. And so she had another thing coming for me. And so how we get through those experiences together, I think, is actually quite funny. And it's funny-ish to me now. Going forward, after the book was done and it sat in my computer for years until both Dorothy and Mark said, you got to get that book out. You got to get that book out. And like so many things, it's not always about getting something out or getting something done. It's sometimes there are gifts in the doing. And so I edited the book, and in so doing, I learned other things. And then when I went back and edited again, I learned other things. And then I thought, okay, I learned everything and nobody else needs to know this. And so I put the book away again for a couple of years. And so Dorothy and Mark and a few other friends, you've got to get that book out. You've got to get that book out. So I went back and edited, I think, a third time. And then it wasn't until the fourth time a few months ago that I realized that the book wasn't about what I thought it was about. And I realized that the book was about something completely different. And I don't know that I want to share yet because I kind of want people to experience the story. Plus, we're coming up on a commercial. Or maybe we'll share it after commercial. Not that I'm supposed to know that. I'm the guest.
I wanted to see you dance around that subject for just a moment.
Yeah, me too.
But we do have more
questions for you.
When we come back, Dorothy's going to resume her questioning. In the meantime, we are live at Studio NoHo. We're going to come back with more Filippo Voltaggio and Heather Powers, Grateful Girl, with her special guest, DJ One Love. And we will be back from Studio NoHo after these messages.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
And we're back live at Studio NoHo, and our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, is interviewing Filippo Voltaggio on the release of The Little Dog That Could, his new book, When the Student is Ready, the Teacher Appears.
The story began a long time ago. You said approximately 8.5 years ago. And I have been watching you write and rewrite and edit and rewrite the book. And as you said, you set it aside. To many, to very many, this story may be hard for people to believe, to wrap their minds around. Do you think fear of people's reactions to it might have been what took you so long to finish the book?
I don't think I know.
You know?
I do know. And it wasn't just about people's reactions, but my own, actually. My own acceptance of what happened. So I
you are a few words tonight. you wrote them all down. Now what are we going to do?
It's in the book. What do you want from me? I laid my soul out in the book.
But you didn't talk about fear in the book. No, seriously. A fear of what people will believe holds many, many people back. And we get so caught up in how we think people are going to react. So
you know, it's interesting. I got what I asked for. I remember reading The Celestine Prophecy, and I loved that book. And at first, how it started, I thought, wow, this is a real book about an adventure. And then I was a little disappointed, and not that I should have been, because it was a really good book and I learned a lot from it and I liked it a lot. But at the end, I said to myself, I wish it was a true story. I wish it had been a true story. I wish it were a true story, but it's not. And then I had it happen to me. And I had that kind of an experience. For those who know The Celestine Prophecy, I would describe it like that. It was like The Celestine Prophecy happened to me in real life and over a period of several months, and especially during a particular week, and I couldn't accept it. I couldn't accept it while it was happening, even though it was happening. I was watching it, and a big part of it, I was a part of it, but I couldn't believe it, because it was so outside my paradigm. And so it was so outside my paradigm that I couldn't believe it even for years. And even though other things have happened since that I could probably write books about as well. I don't know if I will, but that they just kept happening over and over again. And I still couldn't believe it. So it was probably the fourth writing that I said to myself, can you get this already? Can you just accept this?
Can you?
I can. I have.
Great. As Mark shared, as Mark shared, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And there's so many lessons that Chichina shared with you. And one of my favorite ones is that she taught you there's so much more to life than just work and going about our business. Mm. The walks you took her on were really big lessons in themselves. Will you share with us what she taught you about our six senses?
I like how Dorothy did going about our business with quotes in the air on radio. without saying quotes in the air. And of course, it's a play on words because we would go on walks and Chichina would do her business. In other words, go to the bathroom. And I would think at the time originally that they were about going to the bathroom. But that's not what the walks were about. The walks for her were about so many other things. And, you know, the sixth sense part comes after exploring our five senses, which in itself is doable. I think that'll be doable for people. They'll get that.
But explain that a little, because I love the way you talked about it. We go through life on automatic pilot so often, and she taught you to remember that you had five senses.
Right.
You weren't so sure of the sixth one at the time, but the five senses, I love the way you shared it in the book.
Right. And when I say it's doable for people, actually, I've thought about actually having a little manual that comes from out of this book, right? That instead of having to read the whole book, all of the Chichina lessons could be right there in a little book, one right after the other. And so the five senses, of course, we learn as kids, we have five senses. And on occasion, they'll come up, and more often than not, they come up in our languaging, though we don't know we're really using it. And so the phrases like, I have butterflies in my stomach, or something doesn't feel right, or, well, the feel would be the sixth sense more, I have a bad taste in my mouth, right? So these phrases
something
are in
smells
our
funny. Right?
Yeah, something right. Smells funny, exactly. It doesn't look right, you know, or mm-hmm. Something's not. So we say these things, but do we really understand what we mean? And more often than not, at least I speak for myself, and I talk about myself throughout the whole book on how I wasn't connecting with any of that. And children would laugh at this book if they could read it. People ask me, actually, is it a children's book? And they don't need it until they learn from the parents who are busy and who have learned also to not trust their five senses, to not know that, to disregard a sixth sense, right? So then they grow up and then they need it. So that's what I mean. The five senses are doable because we can actually physically feel, but we don't always use the sense of feel. And the sense of taste, we just gulp our food down more often than not because we're busy. Or at least I did. I went out for munchies, for God's sakes. And
a health food store.
At a health food store. Quotes in the air. And then the sixth sense, I think I'm going to leave that for people to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then it leads into sixth really nicely. Although I would have to say, where I come to in the understanding of it is that it's more important. Wow, I'm getting emotional. Where I'm still coming to, I guess, is that it's more important than the other five. And yet the other five is what we tend to live our life with. And yet we're not even using those to the fullest. At least, again, I wasn't. And I know a lot of people who aren't either. So that's why I think this is so important.
One of the major parts of this book is how you consistently communicated with Georgina. So how did you go about that communication?
Well, at first it was the obvious talking to her and thinking maybe she'd understand, although we'd never met before, and yet it seemed like she did understand. And of course, she doesn't speak English, but I would speak to her in English and Italian, you come to find out. And I gave her the name Cecina. It's an Italian name.
You can bark in Italian.
Can you? Let me hear it.
I'd never try it.
Do you move your paws around?
So I realized that if she's not actually answering, because I it wasn't commands, and it wasn't like she grew up with me as a puppy or we had gotten to know each other for years, so saying full sentences that she could pick out what I'm meaning and all that, she had never heard me speak before. And yet we were communicating, and it wasn't until later that I put that sixth sense into the picture and said, wait a minute, if it's not happening through the talking, it's happening outside the talking. And so what if we didn't talk? And then that's when the real fun began.
So what
are quotes in the air.
One of my favorite parts of the book was the story of your grandmother's passing and the remarkable job you did of connecting with her. So could you, or would you please share with our audience this amazing chapter?
You know, see, now
here we go again.
Right. You know, well,
I believe that this is where you learned how to communicate.
I cried so much throughout the whole book. And I would cry at different times throughout the writing of it. And I think it's a very special book. And I actually don't. I'm an open book, literally. I'm an open book, but I share what I'm comfortable sharing. This book was completely out of my comfort zone. This experience was completely out of my comfort zone. So the story with my grandmother happened a long time ago. I've never shared it with anybody. Yes.
Why don't we go to our next break, have a few messages. You can think about that, and then you can share more of that story when we come back after this on the Life Changes Show.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back on the Life Changes Show, live at Studio NoHo. Before we went to break, Dorothy had asked a question about the chapter having to do with your grandmother, Filippo. And I wanted to reference the monologue and your comments before the show and your experience with the Celestine Prophecy. And I think it's so important because a lot of people have experience with that, may have read the book or saw the movie. But this experience and how you relate to that, I think, is something that, even though this is so extreme and so involved, and you writing the book is so involved, I think at different levels everybody has, and as they read your book will realize they've had some kind of their own, you know, experience like this. And I think this is a perfect time to share that answer for Dorothy.
You know, because this is the first time this is the first time I'm sharing this story, I have to say that my grandmother ended up in a convalescent hospital at 98 years old. That's when she went, and it was against my mother, her daughter, against her wishes, because my mother had not only lived with her all her life and taken care of her when she wasn't able to take care of herself, but actually physically taken care of her when she was bedridden for 5 years at that point. But my mother actually fell and hurt herself, ended up in the hospital herself, so nobody was there to take care of my grandmother. So I think it was my mother's brother and my father who decided that she at least temporarily needed to go into a convalescent home while my mother was convalescing herself. So because my mother was very proud of the fact that she took care of her mother all those years. And so I have to preface it by saying that shortly after my grandmother entered the convalescent home at 98-something, she started to deteriorate. Maybe she was 99 at that point, if you can imagine. She started to deteriorate quickly. And as it looked like she was on her way out of this particular world, we all came into town to see my grandmother for what we thought would be the last time. And for me, it actually was. I went to see her on my own, maybe with my brother. And then at one point, my father and my uncle decided they were going to go before we all left and asked me to come one last time. And so for some reason I went, and for some reason they wanted me. And so this is her son and her son-in-law, both whom she had known in the small town that they had grown up with, had known all of her life. She had known them both all of her life. And they walked in and they could see that she had deteriorated. We all could see deteriorated so quickly that she didn't have her eyes open at all. She was mumbling things and nobody understood her. They tried to get her attention. She couldn't look at them or direct her face to them or anything. It was just, they got no response. And my father would say, "It's me." And my uncle would say, "It's me." And nothing. And so I figured if she didn't recognize them, she wouldn't recognize me. So I just stood quietly and was very, very sad. And then at one point, I had this thought, and I don't know what book I had read or what it indicated to me, that the soul hovers above the head. I explain it in the book, and I also explain images in the book and how we could read images from our minds to other minds. Long story short, I'll say this, that my grandmother, who was being not responsive, I looked up 3 feet above her head or so at the wall and imagined her soul there. And I said to her a lot of beautiful things. I said, "Thank you for being our grandmother, and thank you for everything. And if this is time for you to go, this is then you know, go without fear and know that you are loved and will always be remembered," and all of that. So and as I said this, and as I was finished, I looked down, and my grandmother was staring me right in the face. And then as I looked at her, this huge smile came over her. And that was it.
That's beautiful. And that is very important for our listeners to know and understand. I do a lot of transition work, and that's what I do, is talk to their soul instead of just to their bodies. And you did a great, great thing that day. And I think it prepared you for your lessons with Jacina. There's so many things to talk about. One of the most interesting things in the story is how, as you were going through this process and you thought, "What do I do? What do I do?" when you got quiet you just knew what to do. And that's so important. My clients and everyone I know have a lot of resistance to embracing their knowings. In fact, one of the many things that I do my best to get everyone to remember is that we do know when we get quiet. And yet we use our word against us quite often by saying and answering so many questions, I don't know. So you demonstrate your knowings a lot in the book. I'm so grateful to Chichina for helping you tune in more and accept that when you do connect, you do know. That was a big, big lesson from her.
Yes, and one will notice in the book my resistance to that. To any of those knowings over and
well,
over
then
again.
This is what's where, well, one of the many places it's so relatable to everyone. You know, we've been taught to be mindful or more mind driven, mind related, right? To think of things and to communicate as separate. Yet we're at the very moment that we're operating that way, we are emitting a frequency and we are tuning. Or out of tune, and what you do in this book through this exchange, what you did with your grandmother, is moved your belief to an extent that you were expanded your belief to an extent that you were able to tune into her frequency, and you know, this is such a powerful lesson because it, at least for me, and I know for many, it gets written off as coincidence. When that moment comes and you think of somebody and they call. And yet that is the same principle here. And so I think so eloquently you helped to bring that information forward.
I noticed that there's so much resistance to change. And in this story, you share quite a bit of resistance on your part to change. So I really believe this book can help our readers embrace life and let go of some of the resistance. In chapter 22, which is titled, We've Got Magic to Do.
No, let's not give too much away about that.
We've got magic to do, and you did do magic. So my question for you is, do you believe that every one of us has the power to do magic, the kind of magic you did with Chichina?
Well, the answer to your question would be yes. What is magic follows that. And whether one calls it miracles or there are many words to describe it. And I actually am hesitant because I don't want to give away what that chapter is about.
It's about magic. It truly
right.
is.
Right. So it, in a general sense, we'll call it magic, but people can call it prayer, meditation, angels. There are so many other adjectives that can be used in there. But,
you know, as this just came to me because thinking about that word magic and how I think everybody would agree that there is an understanding or an acceptance that it's magic when one cell becomes two cells and two cells become four cells and four cells becomes billions and this complex being that we are. But then suddenly that magic somehow stops in the belief system that the now is limited by what we may or may not have learned as to what is possible.
Yes.
And then we shut off the magic or don't allow ourselves to see it, right?
Well, and you're absolutely right, Mark, and that is demonstrated throughout the book. And one of the things that I discovered in the fourth edit was I was like, come on, Filippo, get it. And you say you get it, and then you don't get it a paragraph later. And when I was writing it, I wasn't seeing the resistance. I was writing it exactly as I remembered. And then when I did the first and second edit, I was just fixing the words that I misspelled and all that stuff. And it was the fourth time that I was saying, well, do you get it or do you not get it? And that's life. And even after all those experiences, and even after the book is now written, there I question each day of my life. And I say, oh, why is this happening? Why is that not happening? When in the book I was questioning and then the answers came. But it was about and around a specific issue. Since the questions that I have today are not about Chechnya, they're about this, they're about finances, they're about where to live, do this with the business, the radio show. There's so many questions, and that I ask all these things, and I don't wait for the answers. I just go and do my thing using my quote unquote five senses. I have to go write this, I have to go call that person, and out the window go a lot of the lessons from the book. And so Dorothy has used anything I've written has and can and has been used against me. Dorothy says, you should read this book. And it's true.
I heard that like three times out of her today.
And it's true. It's true. And I say, I like to say the phrase, don't judge a book by its author. Because so many people write such beautiful things, but they either don't know what they're writing or they don't know how to live what they're writing. And so I am doing my best to live what I wrote because I believe in everything that I wrote. And incidentally, people who have read it and have said some beautiful things, a couple of people have had, like, if you change this part and say it this way, that'll make it even cuter or that'll make it more. And I say, absolutely not. I can't change one word in the whole 220 pages of it, because if I change it to describe it a different way, then that portion of it will not be true. And every single thing, exactly as I remember it, exactly as it happened, is absolutely true. So I won't feel like I wouldn't feel like I could say that if I change this to be cuter. It's not about being cute. It's about being really raw and authentic and powerful, I think.
I wonder how many times you'll have to edit the screenplay.
I can't wait for the movie.
I keep hearing about a movie. That's interesting. You should say that.
This was truly an extremely valuable experience for me. As Mark and you know, I know things. During this Chechnya experience, it was very difficult for me to not say more of what I knew. And I've learned that even though I could reassure you as much as I possibly could that everything was going to be okay, and although I wanted to share more, the greatest gift I could give you at the time was tell you to breathe and check in with your knowings. And I want to congratulate you on knowing and listening, although there was a lot of resistance and a lot of questions. You did an absolutely amazing job. So what's the most valuable lesson of all from this amazing experience?
You have about a minute and a half left.
That's right. You can tell us.
You know, there are so many valuable lessons in this for me. And I would say, to answer that question, it's the first time I've thought about it, but I would have to say that what we see, what we feel, what we think, what we smell, what we touch, this physical world that we call our experience, our life, that it isn't the story. The story is beyond this. And we're limiting, I've been limiting my life within this physical story that I had created for myself and sometimes continue to create, that the expanded view of what's really happening is much more beautiful and much more exciting. And I look forward to living much more there, more and more.
Our listeners are going to want to know when the book will be available for purchase and where can they find it.
On November 19, 2015, the book will officially be released. It will be on Amazon as a downloadable book and also as a hardcover or softcover book, available all both on November 19th. So from our LifeChangesNetwork.com or LifeChangesShow.com, you will see books right now. There was one book, but there will be more very soon. It's the book that's there. It's The Little Dog That Could. And you can also go to thelittledogthatcould.com, and we'll have all the links for Amazon and other links as well of where you can get the book. And there already been some talk about some bookstores that want to carry it. So this experience is just starting, and yet starts another experience. Thank you both for this one for me.
And thank you for sharing with our audience just a little of this most excellent adventure.
Thank you, Filippo. And the release of this book really captures a breakthrough energy, because I think it also represents where Life Changes has been. And I'm speaking largely for myself, but in stepping forward in who we are. We've been working with each other and ourselves so much, but now being able to do this in a broader and more global and more meaningful way. So thank you for getting this done. And after these messages, we have Heather Powers, Grateful Girl, and Jason Michael Henson, DJ One Love, live, Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
We are back. Oh, my goodness. First of all, thank you, Dorothy, for such a great interview. And Mark, thank you as well for co-hosting this very special show for me, and I trust for all of us. And the show is also very special because we've got Heather Powers, Grateful Girl, in the studio, who's going to sing for us. And when she is with, well, she's probably always with him, but together they're known as One Love and Gratitude, because we've got Jason Michael in the house, and he's also known as DJ One Love. This is really clever, I have to say. One Love is spelled with the number one, O-V-E. Don't we love this? So he's DJ One Love, spelled like that. And then together they're One Love and Gratitude, spelled like that. So welcome, Heather Powers and Jason Michael.
Thank you. Gosh, thank you for just that amazing heart, belly up, you know, sharing, and just the interviewing, that the heart behind all of it. Really, really a blessing to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. And actually, it's funny, throughout that whole interview, I was looking at your CD, your last CD,
yeah.
And it's called Undone. And I'm like, I am so undone right now.
Right? The goal is to stay undone.
Yes.
That's where the magic is. Right.
Stay
magic. It's in chapter 22,
right?
Evidently.
That's my number.
We believe in magic.
I obviously, look at the two of you. So actually, I know we're going to hear Heather, you sing. Tell us real quickly, Grateful Girl, how did you become the Grateful Girl?
Well, about 4 years ago, I had a pretty leveling life experience where life fell apart as I knew it. And I began to chronicle my journey as I began blogging or video blogging.
I hear a book coming on.
Yeah.
We know publishers now.
Right. You know what? It's really funny. When you said that, I looked at Jason. I was like, ha. There's a plan going
on here.
There's a plan.
Okay. You better hurry. Dorothy and Mark.
Who's first out of the chute, right?
That's right.
Because the book edits you.
There you go.
Yeah. So it just, I began sharing, and gratitude revolutionized my life in such a profound way. You know, I was in such a place where I had lost pretty much everything. And I knew that I needed to shift some just perspectives in my own life, and gratitude was a huge game changer for me.
Mm.
So I became Grateful Girl.
Awesome. Well, there's a show in there right there.
And my tagline was, I'm a grateful girl and I'm not going back.
Nice. And DJ One Love, tell us a little bit about what you do solo before we talk about the two of you together.
Well, One Love, actually, I've been DJing events for about 25 years and started doing celebrity events, and a partner said, we need to come up with a DJ name. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be DJ Skippy or anything, but what was very important to me was One Love. Mm. And I live by two laws, the law of one and the law of love. And it began as a moniker, as a DJ name, but it became who I am. Mm. I am One Love. I believe in those two combinations, and I believe that's what will revolutionize our world, is living these two laws. And so One Love is a DJ name. I live as a DJ, but I truly live from the heart. And so One Love is what I want to teach and embody.
You know, I'm taking this all in, but Heather's listening to you smiling so big while you're talking. Is there love between these two or what?
There's certainly one love in the room. That's for sure.
And okay, so the two of you do something together, and you call that One Love and Gratitude. Let's talk about that real quickly.
Well, One Love and Gratitude is really a celebration of union in all its various forms. So
great job, honey. I like how.
Thank you. I've never said it.
I know. That was fresh.
It just happened here.
On my head.
Let's write that down.
Yeah, I mean, the union of us in unionizing community in music is one of those elements that we use to produce events that are all about community and in that place of oneness in motion where music's happening, dance is happening. But One Love and Gratitude is also our platform to help others in assisting their union.
We're working with couples, helping them find the beloved relationship within so that it can manifest without.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you don't mean like without, you mean like on the outside.
On the outside, yes.
That's interesting.
We ask people to go with that.
I posted just this morning, you can only turn the outside around from within. So
yes,
it's interesting to hear those words again
today. That's
the truth.
Yeah. I mean, everything that is in our life on the outside is only a reflection of what's happening inside.
Yeah. No, I got that. I was playing.
But, yes, yes.
speaking of playing, you're going to be playing. What is it we're going to hear?
I'm going to share a song called Beloved, actually. And
oh, this isn't in this CD. It's not on here.
No, this one's actually
new.
Coming. This is new. And
this is exciting.
Yeah, this one will be on the new record that comes out in the spring of this coming year.
Spring 2016. Stay tuned at not only lifechangesshow.com, but A Gratitude Girl. A Gratitude.
Like, a Grateful Girl.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm reading it and wrong. I'm looking right at it. AGratefulGirl.com. As in AGratefulGirl.com.
That's me.
Okay. So what is this song called?
It's called Beloved.
Beloved? Okay. Yeah. Well, here's Heather Powers, Grateful Girl, singing Beloved on the Life Changes Show.
There was a time when I was reaching for you. I now have realized your love that brought me to. Before my breath I heard you singing over me. That I, the thought of you, was cradled in this love for me. Beloved, you're my mind. Beloved, touch my soul. Beloved, now you have all of my heart. Everlasting love, where I am still and now. Everlasting love, I'm following you home. Everlasting love, it's swallowing me. Oh. For now, this garden as it comes into full bloom, and every angel you've appointed to rescue, join in the song and dance, caught up in this love, releasing heaven here and now. We hear you call, beloved, you're my everlasting love, where I am still and know. Everlasting love, I'm following you home. Everlasting love, that's swallowing me.
Amazing.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, we all breathe. Like we all could breathe now. You took our breath away. That's beautiful. I was walking in the studio, actually. We all were working in the studio, and we heard the rehearsal going on, or the sound check, and my first words were like, wow, that's beautiful. And now here you are doing it for us live on the Life Changes show. So what is the new CD going to be called? Do you have a name for it yet?
No.
No, okay.
We've got an idea.
Yeah, we've got some ideas.
She has about 25 or 27 songs just sitting there. I call them the golden seeds. I mean, we could do a double album. My idea is to see it's a Love is Sacred. But that's it's in the oven, so...
Exciting.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Awesome.
So we've got agratefulgirl.com. Did I say it right that time?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So agratefulgirl.com.
Yes.
Now, do you have a website for the two of you together yet?
Right now, they can find us on Facebook at One Love and Gratitude, but we have our website that's being redeveloped right now.
Okay. So a lot of newness happening.
And that's oneloveandgratitude.com. That'll be out really shortly.
And so that's, again, with the number one?
One.
Okay. So one, O-V-E.
A-N-D.
A-N-D. Okay.
Gratitude.
And gratitude.com. Okay. And then do you have a website for your...
Yeah. You can find me at jasonmichael.me.
Oh.
Very simple.
Just like jasonmichael.me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can do that. Okay. Do we get to hear another, I hope?
Yes.
Oh, okay. And what's this?
This is called The Light.
Oh, you know, I forgot to ask you.
Yeah.
What is Karosh, Karosh.
Yeah.
Good question.
Is it okay to ask?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is a Hebrew term, which means holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Oh.
And it's just about the highest frequency that you can tune into.
Well, I tuned into it.
Good.
And I want to know what it was. So basically you were like sealing the prayer kind of thing and sending it off with the high frequency.
You know, it's
calling on the angels.
Yeah. You bring that in. Again, we've been talking about synchronicity all day. I was just reading up on the Hebrew language this morning and some of the Kabbalistic science, and that each letter, as it talks about frequency, each letter is a word and each word is a picture. And then it goes into the essence of the frequency of the word. So it was beautifully in
that
alignment.
It is very synchronistic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And 22, by the way, is the completion of the sephirot. Yeah.
Wow. I'm getting a picture right now.
Magic.
Right?
And it's beautiful. I forgot the name of what you're going to sing.
The Light.
The Light.
The Light.
Oh, and what's that about?
It's pretty self-explanatory. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, just walking from that dark night of the soul to this heaven on earth that we're all, you know, taking part in revealing in us and in each other and then at the world at large.
Oh, gosh, that's so kind of like what I said about the best lesson out of the book.
Yep. Totally synchronistic. So
I could have just said the best lesson out of the book is the light.
The light.
There is a light and start living in it,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Well, we're going to hear it in song
now.
That's
edit number five, by the way.
What's that?
That'll be edit number five.
That's right.
No, we'll leave it. We'll leave it exactly as it is. I didn't want to steal your thunder. That's what it was. No. Here is Heather Powers, Grateful Girl.
Yes.
I'm going to do that again. Here is Heather Powers, Grateful Girl, singing The Light,
The Light
on The Life Changes Show.
Bye.
I used to ask, why are you downcast, oh my soul? A heart in anguish felt like nothing could console. Yet in the darkness was emerging refined gold. I find I'm whole. I have everything I need and I am whole. It's like glory coming down and heaven is on earth as we open to the truth, like a mother giving birth, and our spirits start to fly. Our love can now arise. We're walking in the light, walking in the light. I tried to satisfy the longing of my soul. So many counterfeits, I quickly lost control. Still there is beauty in this road that's leading home, and I have hope. I have everything I need and I have hope. It's like glory coming down and heaven is on earth as we open to the truth, like a mother giving birth, and our spirits start to fly. Our love can now arise. We're walking in the light. Let love have its way. Let go. You've tried it every other way. Here and now, in this place, let go and watch how everything will change. Like glory coming down, and heaven is on earth as we open to the truth, like a mother giving birth, and our spirits start to fly, our love can now arise, as we're walking in the light, walking in the light, walking in the light, walking in the light. Oh, oh, oh.
Thank awesome. You so much. So
did beautiful. You all see that montage of Filippo and Cecina walking around while you were listening to that?
I was just thinking, I can't think of
a better song.
Yeah, music to go
it's
with what
like
we
there
shared
was a
today.
Plan.
Yeah.
That's my favorite line, Dorothy. It's from the A team, right? I love it when a plane comes together.
In our case, it's the D team.
It's the D team.
That's what I say all the time.
Thank you, Heather. I know you've done so many things. Your voice is featured in Rent, and you've sung with so many big stars: Huey Lewis in the News, and Winona Judd, and Amy Grant, and I see why. And I'm so glad that you're out there as a solo artist. And I love this. I read this about you. If there was a passion that drives Heather Powers as an artist, it would be for her musical gifts to touch her audience in such a way that they are taken to deeper places within themselves, where the brilliance of their true identity and the overflowing life that is within each one is just waiting to be uncovered layer by layer. And so it is.
It's truly my heart
so
cry.
It is. It so is.
Very beautiful. If you all go to agratefulgirl.com or agratefulgirl.com, not only you get to learn more about her there, there's her story, you can book her. There's her music there, other CDs, even though she's got one coming out soon. Mm-hmm. She's got other CDs already, including the Undone one, which I'm holding and can't wait to listen to that. And you do have a link there for One Love and Gratitude. So
yes,
people
do.
Can find you there as well.
Yep.
Until the One Love and Gratitude website is fully up and running.
Yes.
And so jasonmichael.me.
Yes.
Yes. And so first, thank you, Jason Michael, DJ One Love. And thank you, Heather Powers, a grateful girl. We are grateful to you, girl.
See what he did there.
That's clever. I'm grateful to Dorothy and Mark for how you treated me during my first interview about the little dog that could. And grateful to all of you who are listening. On behalf of our engineer at BBS Radio, we're grateful to you too, Doug Newsom. And on behalf of Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo, and our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and Mark Legere, our producer, I am Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes, as mine certainly just did tonight, and ours did collectively, this was like a slice of heaven in here.
Yeah.
Like glory coming down. Is that the lyric?
Glory coming down and heaven is on earth.
There it is. reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.